It gives me great pleasure to introduce Brother Terry Knight to preach for us tonight from Fairview Missionary Baptist Church.
Love you, sir. One of the reasons why I got to grow is because of the pastor we had.
Amen.
I know he's a blessing over this way. I'm kind of jealous in a way. We just tell how much we miss having him out there in church. But the Lord's got more things for him to do. I'm just thankful to be here tonight. I find it a privilege to be able to come out this way. Anytime when you can make a stand and preach about the Lord, it's a privilege.
Amen.
And I want to tell you something about me, because this is the first time I've ever been here, and I like to tell you my experience. I know this is a precious place right here. This is precious right here. This pulpit. You don't want to put anybody in the pulpit.
Right.
And I like to tell you my experience, and I also like to tell you when I got called to preach. When I was about 20 years old, which my birthday would be coming up pretty soon. It was around May or early June, but it was about back in 94. I tell you, I was at a church in Middle Franklin. It's Old Way Missionary Baptist Church. It's located right there in Middle Franklin. It's Old Country Church in Franklin. When I talk about Franklin, Kentucky. And it's just a little bit away from here. I guess probably about 40 miles from here. But anyway, I had a bad car accident, and I was kind of just ignoring God, you know. He's telling me that I need to get myself right. And had a bad car accident. I was actually dating my wife at the time, and she kept inviting me to church and stuff. And I think I started going to church at that time. And anyway, I towed my car out, and I got to the church, and I remember bowing down and praying. Nobody was, I think you might have been beside me, Jennifer, but it wasn't no altar call or nothing like that. It was even, I think, right before the service even started. I remember bowing down, praying to my Lord and asking to save my soul. I remember telling him I'd do anything. And there's a time and place, I don't remember what happened, but I knew it happened. It felt like somebody picking me up and dipping me in it. And something just cleaned me off, you might say. But it like my heart was beating out of my chest, and it was just a feeling just from head to toe. And it was a peace that came over me. And I wanted somebody to tell me I was okay. So I took about, I guess it was 2 weeks before I even truly told everybody about it. I told her I thought I was saved. I think I'm saved. And at the time, our pastor at that time, Brother Dennis Ellis, he said, well, you need to know you're saved. And it took me about 2 weeks to get it to join the church and everything. And actually, Brother Kenny Odom was helping in a revival, and I ended up joining the church. 94 was a special year. That's when I got married, and when we bought our first home and everything. It just seemed like it was a very special year. And the specialist part about it was he saved his soul. Then back in, I guess, around 2000, I guess it was close around then, 99 or 2000, around there, and the Lord called me to preach. I was on my way to my granny's house, and I was in the truck by myself, and the Lord talked to me just like I'm talking to you. Mm-hmm. He said, I want to preach your word. And it's the funniest feeling. Because the first words come out of my mouth, I guess I felt like if I could relate to somebody in the Bible, who would I have been like? It's probably been Moses, because I said, why me? Why me, Lord? Because I'm not the type of person to get up in front of anybody. I'm not the type of person to kind of just get out and about and make a scene or anything. But he told me, he said, you told me you'd do anything if I save you, so this is what I want you to do. And then of course, I finally made it to my grandmother's house, and my wife, she thought I had a bad car accident, because I was just white as she is the ghost. I was scared to death. Sweat was pouring off of me and everything, and I told her. And she said, oh no, I can't be married to a preacher. And we've been married for, I guess this is our, we'll be celebrating our 23rd anniversary pretty soon. And like Brother Ron says, he's been with us at least two of our anniversary. I know he went to our 15th. He helped us renew our vows, and then, of course, we celebrated our 20th anniversary when we went to Oregon. And like you said, it was an awesome time down there. If you ever get to go, that you need to go. It's beautiful. It's like you get the best of both worlds. You got Smoky Mountains in Florida, but the same, you know. It's just beautiful. But the main thing is so pretty down there. It was a good spirit. We enjoyed being with Brother Stotler and his wife. It was awesome. But again, I'm thankful to be here tonight. Thankful for what I feel. I do have a thought on my heart. It came to me this week. The thought is, are you thirsty? And I don't know if you know where I'm going to, but the thought is, I like to talk about the living water. And it's kind of strange that this water is sitting up here, you know, and I am kind of thirsty right now. I'm going to take a drink of it. But the living water that I like to talk about, you don't have to drink it more than once. You drink it one time, that's it. That's all you get. And I like to talk about that, the Lord's will. Over in John, I'm going to wipe my eyes a little bit. I can't see. Now, I push that. I'm telling you, I'm getting old. I went last week, and I got to get glasses. And bifocals. But it's very little. But I still, I'm tore up about it. I called mom and cried to her a little bit. I was Jennifer. Old age is creeping up on me. It's a good thing he's getting us new bodies, right? But anyway, over here in John, he talks about living water. I'd like to turn over this way. In the 32nd verse of the 6th chapter, it says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, but he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will come in no wise cast out. Since for I came down from heaven not to my own will, but the will of my Father that sent me. And there is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which hath given me I should lose nothing, but should rise it up again, and at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one that which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Again, he goes and he keeps on repeating himself. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I'm the bread of life. Your father's dead, eat manna in the wilderness, and the are dead." And I know I skipped a few to wear y'all's patience, but this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he should live forever. And the bread that I will give in my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And he also says, "The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of this flesh, and the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life to you. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I would raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat, and my and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth the flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As for the living Father hath sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from my heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and ye are in it. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Again, he was telling them that he is the bread of life, and he is the bread. His blood is the living water. And in order to have that living water, we got to come to him. And as you go on, you want to back it up in the 6th chapter, in the 44th verse, it says, no man comes for me, which my Father draws him, and I raise him up the last day. He draws me to that living water. And I'm going to get back to that scripture where he draws you. He drawn a woman at the well over in the 4th chapter of John. He was drawing that woman to that well. She comes to that well with a pot, expecting to get water out of Jacob's well there. And I like to go that way. And also, the Lord's will, if we've got time, I also like to tell you about a rich man that never did get that living water. It's still thirsting after that living water until today, I believe. There ain't no doubt in my mind that he's still wanting that living water. And it's too late for him. But we'd like to go to the 4th chapter of John, which talks about a Samaritan woman. She was coming, and I believe it ain't no doubt in my mind that Jesus was right there. He knew where she was going to be at. And the woman was going into a part of the day when no one else was there. Because Samaritans were considered as dogs. They wasn't too well looked upon too well. And she was next there at that well. And over here in the 4th chapter of John, it says, when therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, it says, then Jesus himself baptized but his disciples. Says he left Judah and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. See, he knew that he was going to go through Samaria. He knew that woman was there.
That's right.
And just like he knows, if you're here tonight and you're lost, he wants you to come. He's here tonight. It ain't no doubt in my mind. Brother Ron said to and this young man got saved here today. He was here today and he's here now.
That's right.
And if he's brought me somewhere, if he said you need to come, you need to go. Just like that Samaritan woman. He was telling that woman to go to the well. And he's got a well right there. And he'll let you take a drink from his well if you would ask. With a broken heart and a contrite spirit. He don't know down my mind. He knows what we stand in need of before we even ask. But he wants us to ask.
Amen.
He knows our faults. He knows everything about us. Just like this woman, as I go on a little further, he knew everything about this woman. He called it out to her. But as he goes on a little further, he says, and he must need to go through Samaria. He says, then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And now Jacob well was there, and Jesus therefore being wearied and with his journey set thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour, there cometh a woman of the Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. And then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew asketh to drink of me, which is am a woman of Samaria? And the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, and thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, from whence thou hast thou that living water, and art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and the children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up an everlasting life. And said the woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come or hither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and whom thou now hast is not thy husband, as thou saidest thou truly. And the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in the mountains, and ye say that in Jerusalem, in the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, that hour cometh when ye shall neither in these mountains nor yet Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what we know, what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in the Spirit, and the truth of the Father seek as such to worship. And God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in the Spirit and truth. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, and when He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I am that speak unto thee, I am He. And upon this he came, his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Excuse me. He says, Yet no man said unto him, Why seekest thou, or why talkest with her? And the woman that left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the man, Come and see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not thy the Christ? And they went out in the city and came unto him. And then the man in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And thereof said he said to the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You know, as I was reading, the woman at the well, she got what she said in need of. It wasn't what she was thinking. It wasn't the water from the well, but she got that living water.
Amen.
And she got so excited, she forgot what she was there for, the actual water. She left her water pot, y'all may have noticed. She got so excited, she wanted to tell somebody about it. She wanted to go out to this world and let her know that she wasn't thirsty anymore. That she didn't have to drink the living water anymore because she had it. And she wanted everybody else to taste of this water. And I think that's something that y'all shared today, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, inviting people to Easter egg hunts and things like that. That's mission work. That's something that I believe my former pastor opened my eyes up to. That it ain't just these four walls that we need to contain our service in. We need to go out to the hedges and highways and tell them to come in. We need to go and invite people to Easter egg hunts. They're just important as it serves us just like we have here tonight. It's a service. It's mission work. It's just like having a Christmas parade down Franklin. You know, it's important. It's letting our light shine. It's just like what Jesus did here. He was letting his light shine to this woman, and she seen it, and she partaked of it. She protected that living water, that water that she was going, that the only one that can give her is Jesus himself. And that's the only way you're going to get it, is through him, by him. But she, the thing is, though, we don't need to sell God. We need to share everybody what this water is all about. We need to let people know and go and tell everybody. You know, there ain't no doubt in my mind that this woman went and told her experience to people. Has Florida ever laid on your heart to tell your experience to somebody? Has he ever opened up a door, an opportunity to talk to a lost person or somebody that one of your friends or loved ones that you come in contact with, or somebody that's down and out, maybe a homeless person or somebody that, you know, doesn't have any money or anything. Has anybody ever, has the Lord ever laid anything on your heart to tell of your experience? You know, you need to share what God's done for you, you know what I'm saying? And you need to be able to work from, you know, time in, time out. You know, and you do. I ain't no doubt in my mind that this woman had a zeal to tell everybody about it. You know, back then, I got to thinking that they didn't have Facebook and all this stuff like we got, all the technology they had. They had this stuff working out. And she went out and she was excited about God and she told everybody about the Lord. I'm wondering tonight, are you excited about the Lord? Are you want to tell everybody what you, when you had that drink, that drink of that everlasting water, that water of thirst. And it's good to know that you don't have to worry about that living water anymore. You got it. And it's ever flowing inside. And sometimes I think it does. It runs over. And then that's when we got to start shouting. And it's like our cup is running over. And it starts shouting and we start getting excited. And I've done that before when I was at the ministry school one time. I got so filled up and I got so excited. I started shouting all over the place. And the Lord laid on my heart, and I believe this is true. I think it's what a little taste of heaven is going to be like, because we're going to shout, we're going to pray, we're going to worship our Lord. And you know, and these bodies that we have here on earth, they can't contain all of this blessing that we're going to have one of these days. He's going to give us a new one. But I'm here to tell you that if you're truly saved by the grace of God, you need to share it like this woman. And peace calling to you, and peace next some place that's in here. And he's talking to you, can you come to that well, can you come to him, please go before it's too late. I'm thankful that that young boy, he went.
Amen.
You know, so many times that the Lord can deal with you, and you know, he's not guaranteed he's going to deal with you all your life. And I think he's got to draw you to that well, or draw you to that place. And I'm just thankful he didn't give up on me. I was 10 years old and I realized I was lost. It took me 10 years to get saved. And it took a lot of heartache and a lot of things. I wish, I'm kind of jealous of my young son, and I'm jealous of my daughter, because they got that living water before me. But I'm thankful that I got that living water. But I wish I had it a lot sooner. I wish I had it during those 10 years. Because he would help me deal with it. Things in life, you know, sickness and just troubles and things, death and everything. Because he's a friend that always be there. I love my wife to death. I love my son, my children. I love my mom and my daddy. But they can't always be there for you. God can.
Amen.
Jesus is always there. He's a friend to me. He said, I'll go with you to the end of the world. I think it's over in Matthew, the 28th chapter. I think he tells us to go to the edge of the mountains and tell him to come in, and lo, I'll be with you to the end of the world. He's always with us, wherever we go. And there's times he probably passes us. I know he does me sometimes. I don't know about anybody else. But I'd like to talk also, I'd like to turn back a few more places. He's a rich man. And it's Lazarus. And the rich man over here in the 16th chapter of Luke, he was one that living water, but see, he was too late because he was in hell. And over here it says, and some people think that this is a parable, which it might be, I don't know, but I know that either way it is, Jesus really referred it, and he wants to hear it, it wouldn't be in his scriptures.
Right.
But he says, and he said unto his disciples, so there was a certain rich man, and he had a steward, and he's and the same was accused unto him, and he that wasted his goods. And I'm sorry. I'm thinking about that. That's a young steward. Let me. But anyway, there's this young rich man. This is right here. It is in the 19th verse of the 16th chapter. There was a certain rich man which clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with his that crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell he lifted up his eyes and being in torment and seeth Abraham afar and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send me Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in torment and flame. So he was wanting that living water. There's no doubt in my mind he was in torment. He was in pain and agony. And he's wanting it. But see, it's too late. It's too late for him. As we go on, we read. He says, but Abraham said, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou is tormented. Beside all these things between us and you, there is a great gulf, so that they which would pass from hence, that you cannot, neither can they pass to us, and the world cometh from thence. Then he said, pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. I have five brothers, that they may testify unto them, that they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one who rose from the dead. Now, this is a rich man. He's in torment. He's telling him, I don't want you here.
That's right.
And he's telling him, he was worried about his brothers. And he was telling him, he was saying, please warn my brothers about this bad place. There's so many people that, if they're truly, I think God appears to all men. He tells us in the Bible, teaches us over time that God appears to all men. You have opportunities. And you're definitely, you come into the church house and you hear preachers preach, and then the Lord is drawing you to places and you just shun a deaf ear. You know, there's not going to be an excuse. That's what I pray we're going to tell this rich man. There's no excuse. You know, if they don't hear the prophets, if you don't hear Moses and the prophets, they won't hear a dead man. So, and if you're lifting your eyes up in hell, there's no excuse. The blame will be on you. It's between you and God, and if you don't take that heed, you don't take that warning, there'll be no one to blame but yourself. That's why you got to take heed to every opportunity. Jesus is inviting you to that well, or that to give you that living water. You need to take heed to it before it's too late. I was reading over in Jeremiah. It talks about, it says, in Jeremiah, the second chapter, says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out of cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They got other, if you have other things that take God's place, you know, you got these so-called organizations or deceiving people left and right, and if you put forth other gods before God, all it is just a broken cistern.
Amen.
It's not going to hold that living water. And then the only way you're going to be able to have that living water is through Jesus. And he puts that cistern in you. And he puts a cistern in you that don't never leave or never fade away. It's something that will hold that living water forever. And you don't have to be filled again. You don't have to be filled again. It's always going to be there. We went to Jamaica, me and Brother Ron did, and we sent a lot. They had a lot of cisterns up there, and what they did, they didn't get water like you and me. They didn't have no running water. They had just these cisterns. What cisterns are, they catch all the water, rainwater and things like that. Or they might have to buy water and they fill them up so they can have running water. I'm here to tell you that the water that Jesus gives you, you can't buy it. It's given to you freely. He died for you and died for me. That water is given by Him only. You can't buy it. You can't live your way to have it. It's got to be His way or no way.
Amen.
But it's very disturbing. When we went up there, we've seen a lot of heartaches and things. But you know, they didn't have nothing, but they still worship God just like you and me. Actually, I think sometimes they get in the service a lot better than we do. You know, the thing, when I went up there, the time there didn't matter. It seemed like they worshiped God and they had a good time. It was awesome, too. But like I said, we need to share. If we're not thirsty, we need to let people know about it that we're not thirsty. We need to tell people about our testimonies. You know, I was involved in went to a funeral a while back. I guess it was back in December. There was a young man that passed away. He was like maybe 20 to 21. He just turned maybe 21. Name is Zach Haley. And I'm here to tell you that no one didn't have to preach his funeral. He pretty well preached it himself in a way. He recorded his testimony and told his testimony to all the ones. And that place was full. That whole funeral home was full. People were standing up outside. But there was no doubt in mind that he shared his living water to everybody. And he let everybody know that he had that living water. He was like that woman at the well. He was telling everybody what Jesus done for him. That's what we should be. We have every opportunity we need to take heed to. And I'm thankful coming here, and I got to see y'all going out, inviting people to come to this Easter egg hunt. That's important. That is so important. I'm just thankful that Brother Ron was telling me about how y'all had a cookout. It was I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was back in the summer. That's a blessing. Around here, they need God just like everybody else. And I beg that y'all don't give up and y'all just keep on keeping on. And I got a full respect of my former pastor that he'll do everything he can. He's opened my eyes up tremendously. When I came from a church that was kind of what I like to call a box church. I ain't trying to put the church down or nothing, but we kept everything in the four walls. And when I came to Fairview, he opened my eyes up tremendously. That you need to get out to the nursing homes, you need to get out to the radios and TVs, and whatever opportunity you get, you need to take heed to it before it's too late. And he's just opened my eyes up a whole lot, and I'm thankful for him. And I'm just thankful to be here tonight. You know, the Lord always told me, he said, when I'm done with you, you know, just sit down. That's what I'm going to do. I appreciate everybody here. I don't know you, but I feel like I know you. If that makes sense. I love you. I love everybody here. And I'm just thankful that, you know, I always wanted a big family. And I'm thankful that God's given me one, and He adds to it every day, just like He did today. He adds somebody to my family, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful where I can go and hear people get saved. And it's just a blessing to be here, blessing to feel what y'all can feel. It's just a little taste of what we're going to be able to do when we leave this world. It won't be like this, a church here and a church there. The church is all going to be together when we say it. It's going to be all together, and I'm just thankful for that. I'm done. I'm going to turn it back over to y'all's pastor and the church.
I wasn't going to bring up some extra trip, but you want to go to Jamaica? Not when they get home. Either snore or people die. I mean, we put him out on the porch. We put him out on the porch. But when he got there to preach, he was really concerned about one thing. So he preached on, "Are you hungry?" He was really concerned. Are you going to have any food? I said, "Oh, don't worry about the food." And now he's talking about being thirsty tonight. About eating over there. But I'll tell you, I really appreciate it. Just preach what God said to preach. And so I like just to come around and shake his hand. Of course, the altar's always open. Even tonight, you feel the Lord knocking at your heart to come and seek the Lord here at Faith Church. Say one right here today, say them all across this bench. Brother Jimmy got saved over here. Brother Billy got saved over here. And he can save you too. And so don't wait, don't delay, because the Lord is coming back soon. Let's come around and shake Brother Terry's hand and appreciate him for the message he shared with us tonight.
Progress is being made with donations, and so hopefully we'll be able to
get that place to where you can come and be a part of that. But Dr. Collins is going in a few weeks, and also Scott Parker and another team is going. So if you'd like to work on a mission project, wonderful opportunity for you to go get you more details if you'd like. So pray for them, pray for all our missionaries all over the world. Need our prayers. When I went to Kenya, I watched people walk 5 miles to Lake Victoria just to get water to drink, let alone take a bath and all that. So we're blessed. Anyone else have anything on your heart? Words out of my mouth. Amen. Anybody else?
I just want to thank the Lord for setting my up. And I want to thank you for letting us be here tonight. And I agree with Terry. I don't know a lot of people here, but I just feel at home. You know, you don't find that everywhere you go. And I just want to thank the Lord, hopefully, for you and Sister Rhonda. What you all mean to our family. I'm going to ask you all to please help me pray for our youngest daughter, Emily. She says that she's confused and unsure where she stands with the Lord. She hasn't really went to the altar or salt in a while. That makes her mama weary. So I feel just to help me pray for her. You know, the older she gets, the more concerned I start to be. And I know that sounds terrible, but I know the more her heart becomes hardened to the gospel. And it's just like anything we do, you know, garbage in is garbage out. And I know the world is constantly filling her with it. As much as I want to protect her with it, I can't. But as you all just to please help us pray for her.
God bless you, sister. Appreciate it. Anyone else? Well, thank you for coming. It's been a good day. And have a wear on the body. So we're glad to be here tonight. Remember, Wednesday night, we'll continue to go out into the community and invite folks to come and please what happened this evening. And just pray one for another. Pray the Lord's blessing be upon all of us. And I shudder to even say this, but you know what? Whenever Satan gets defeated, he turns up the heat a couple of nights. Beware. That's all I'll say about that. Beware. As greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And just keep hold of that. I don't know if we can get much rougher for Sister Barbara this week. We're praying that she'll have a better week this week. Amen. So God bless her. Bless her family. Bless Brother Jeff. Prayer request. Alex. Mother. All these prayers. God bless you. Be in prayer. All hearts and minds are with
you. I just want to appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you. This is Uncle Donald. Everybody, y'all know this is Brother Stoppers. Oh. Yeah. So we got all kinds of celebrities.
Andrew Stoppers posted the funniest thing on Facebook today. Yes. He said, when she pulled up at church, her phone rang last minute. She said she looked at all her experiences with her house. And it was one of her children said, "Hey, Mom,
hey,
I didn't get in the car. I was looking for my shoes." I got the biggest kick out of that. She said, "The good thing is only about 3 miles from her house." Thank God.
I just so fond about that earlier.
It's so funny. So funny. You guys just love it.
Well, my brother-in-law, Ronnie, that was here today, he was one of 9 children. When they got home, he was still asleep at church. Everybody's going to church, he was still asleep on the back seat. Oh, man. Isn't it going to be wonderful to get to heaven and just share all these?
Mm-hmm. I like the idea that the night that we were all going to be one big church.
That's right.
Get all together and we start fellowshipping. That's when it's good. It's real good.
Big long table. I'll be there. No way to see. That's our coming down to the lake. As long as I'm there, it's all the matter. All feet in front of us, all hearts and minds, maybe the job.
Dear God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the many blessings that you give us. Dear God, I'm thankful for the message that Terry brought today. Dear God, I pray that you put it in our hearts and use it the way you want it to. Dear God, I just pray that you save all the lost before it's too late and give them conviction that they have no other place to turn but to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
We have
some I'm going to go to the next one.